All right, so we are still in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. We just have a couple of more things to do. Today we're going to go a little bit far afield in terms of the lumdus and the background to this concept and the discussion that we've been having about Dan Maka. And then Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll probably finish that discussion and then hopefully move on to the discussion of Ne'emanus of doctors, which obviously is very much lemaisa and very fascinating, and goes beyond this simon. So probably today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, I would guess we're going to have shir, and that should do it for Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, and then we'll go into Chazar. So that works. We'll see if Thursday maybe we do a quick get together for a parsha shir or not. You know, we'll see if there's interest and if I have what to say. Okay, so let's get started. So we're going through all the different kulas that the Gemara itself has, right, for Dan Machmas Tashmish. So we discussed in Yesh Levesas, Tala Bevesta, we discussed in Kalitzbal Shavos, so she married people, we discussed the Bedikas, Shroferes, that's a kula that you could rely on at a certain point in time, that we discussed when that certain point in time is. But the Gemara also says in Yesh Lamakabos, Makum Tala Bemakasa. Now that is a fascinating topic. Yesh la makom ba osa makom tola b'makasa. That if she has some sort of wound ba osa makom, we're told that the dam is coming from that wound, and apparently that makes it okay. Meaning the fact that there's a makom ba osa makom. What exactly does osa makom mean? Does osa makom mean the makar? Does it mean the uterus? Or does osa makom just mean the vaginal area? So if she has a makom, the vaginal wall, so you tola b'makasa. So the context of dam maka as it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch, as it's discussed in the Gemara, is in the context of Dan Machmas Tashmish. But that's not really the only application. In fact, that is the most unique and rare application of relying on Dan Maka. Meaning what this Sif Hei, is really about is about what kind of maka would even be good enough to say that when it's Chashash Nidadal Raisa, we're told in the maka. Meaning when it comes to a kesem, so that's in some kuptzadi, the tliyas are easy to come by, right? You have anything that is a good enough tliya. She went to a butcher shop and whatever, you know, you find a kesem, you could be told in just a bit, in anything that's somewhat reasonable. But when it comes to, let's say, a bedikas egg, a woman takes a bedika cloth, inserts it, comes out with blood on it. Is there any way we can ever be makel? So that's this sif over here. That's sif hey. To be makel when there's an actual chashash nida d'araisa. So again, the context of the discussion that the discussion is brought up in happens to be da machmas tashmish, which is nida d'araisa. So the same thing would apply. The Aruch HaShulchan points this out to Batika Seid or any other time that there's a chashash nida d'araisa. So so this has nothing to do with the rules of Tliya of Ksamim and Siman Kuf Tzadi. It's a whole different set of rules because the stakes are higher. We're not dealing with Nida Drabanan over here, we're dealing with Nida Daraisa, so we need a much more potent maka in order to be able to be tola in such a maka. So the Gemara says it's a machlokas whether dam maka min amakar is tame. Meaning when a woman knows that she has a maka, but the maka is in the uterus. So, and dam is coming from a maka in the uterus. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether that's tame. But Tosa says that the machlokas is only about the dam itself, meaning is the dam tame. But the woman is definitely tahora. That if you have dam maka min amakar, that the woman is going to be tahora. So there are really two ways to understand what that means exactly. What does that mean that a woman is tahora when you have dam maka min hamakar? So one way of understanding it is that the endometrial lining is discharged by a wound rather than by a natural process, and that even that is tahora. Meaning the actual very same blood that would make a woman a nida, if what prompts that yitzias dam is a maka, she somehow, the gynecologist does something and pokes around with the instrument to the point where endometrial blood comes out, even that's tahora. That's one way of understanding dam maka min amakar is tahora. The other way of understanding it is, no, endometrial blood is Tameya, that's Damnida. Of course that's going to be Metameya. Well, when we say Dam Makam and Amakam, Tahora means if there's a Makkah that somehow comes from the uterus but not the endometrial lining. They scratch the uterine wall or something like that. Or the uterine cavity in some way gets bruised or scratched. That's going to be the dam that's tahar, but the actual endometrial lining's got to be tamei. Huge nafkamina, right? Huge nafkamina is if some sort of gynecological procedure prompts endometrial blood to come out. Will that be tamei or will that be tahora? So that's the obvious nafkamina lalacha, because there are a lot of procedures that cause blood from the endometrial lining. So when you get shailas like that. So you have to know, how do we paskin one way or the other? So the Chazanish in Yerdeas and Pe'alef is Mekil, but in Pe'er Adar, on page Kof Lamed Aleph, it's unclear in the name of the Chazanish what he actually held. Rosh Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Nishmas Avram to be Mekil. Others in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman are not quite as sure that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was Mekil. I mean, it seems like every time Gadol was Mekil, someone else said, I'm not sure I spoke to him also, and he wasn't so super Mekil. But it seems that there are Gedolei Achronim that are Mekil. Now, what's the raya to be Mekil? The biggest raya to be Mekil is that the only way to get blood out of the uterus is if it's endometrial blood. There's no other way that blood comes from the uterus. It's the meaning you can pound and scratch and claw at the uterus all day. No blood is going to come out other than the endometrial blood. Apparently that's a metzius, that the uterus can't bleed independent of the endometrial lining. So when the Gemara says that dam that comes from the makar might be tame, but the woman's going to be tahora, that the dam might be metame or truma or whatever, but the woman's going to be, I don't know if you'd want to eat that truma anyway, but the woman's going to be tahora. So when the Gemara says that, it has to be talking about endometrial blood. There's nothing else that it can be talking about. That's the raya to be mekel. The machmirin might respond that the cervix can bleed independently. While the uterus maybe can't bleed independently, the cervix can. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Nuch HaShlomach Beis and Minayin Beis holds that the cervix is also part of the makar. So that may have been what the Gemara was referring to. That you could have dam in a makar that comes from a makar that's not endometrial blood if you can aggravate the cervix to the point where blood comes from the cervix. So it's not necessarily the greatest riot. But that assumes, right, so this touches on the machlokas of where we assume the makar is, right? How far up the plumbing of a woman do we assume is the beginning of the makar? Is the cervix included as part of the uterus? Medically, the cervix is the uterus, right? So if you assume halachically the cervix is the uterus also, so then the raya to be mekil is not necessarily right. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to be machmir. It just means that the raya to be mekil is not necessarily a great raya. So that's why does Rosh Shlomo Zalman talk about this? In what context does he talk about it? So he talks about it in the famous tshuva in Mechas Shlomachem Beisim and Ayin Beis, where a woman couldn't get tahora, where he made that wild suggestion of you know what I'm talking about? What was the suggestion Rosh Shlomo Zalman had of taking a tube, right? It's a bivsara, chetargish bivsara. So he came up with the suggestion that if the blood comes out, but it's not targish b'visara, it doesn't come through her basar, so then it's not going to be metameher. So he said if you could take a tube and stick it in all the way to the uterus and the blood comes through that tube, so it's not really coming through the basar, it's not targish b'visara, melech not going to be tameher, even though her body is releasing all of its endometrial blood. It will still be tahora. That was his suggestion. So how far do you have to stick that tube in? Does it have to get all the way up to the uterus, or is getting to the cervix enough? Right? So because the nafkamina is one is possible and the other one is not possible. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman was makel that it can go just until the cervix, because the cervix halachically is the uterus. So as long as you get the blood up to the cervix, and then as long as you get the pipe, the tube up to the cervix, and then the blood comes through that tube from the cervix, then that would be good enough. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, of course, famously at the end of that tshuva says, I like my chiddush. I think that this could work. We have to speak to doctors, make sure that it can medically happen. But I'm not going to say it lemaisa until other gedolei haposkim agree. Until other gedolei haposkim sign onto it. I think that haskama was never forthcoming, and it never made it. Meaning, I don't think this was ever a practical etza that was ever used by anybody. But what we did get out of it was a gorgeous tshuva from the Shlomo Zalman about all of these inyanim, about the definition of nida and what's considered the makar, what's not considered the makar. So all was not lost. So nu, what do the poskim of our yeshiva say? Anyone ever have such a shayla? Anyone ever ask any of the poskim of our yeshiva such a question? My impression is we should put this on the Matthew's not here. Someone else put it on the list of things to ask Rabbi Sablovsky next time. My impression is in the times that I've asked Rav Shechter and Rav Willig, I don't remember, I didn't take notes, I didn't write it down, but my impression is that push comes to shove, they're mekel, but they don't enjoy being mekel. Meaning, there's an acknowledgement that there is a real machlokas here, and that it's not pashut to be mekel about it, but, when it's a significant need to be mekel, they're mekel. That's my impression, but I could be wrong about that. Let's try to clarify that with Rabbi Sablovsky. If you happen to, you're not going to see Rav Shechter for a little while, he's in Israel now, but if you happen to see Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Neuberger around, you're at a chasana and you're sitting next to them, say, hey, what do you think about Dab Makkah Min HaMakkah? Let's try to check in on that and see what the poskim of our yeshiva say. Okay, so that is that. Now, what exactly, now most of the time when we're talking about the makkah, it's not like she knows for sure that the blood is from the makkah. Meaning, if you know for sure where the blood is, where the blood's coming from, so then there's no shaila really, right? Meaning, once I know that the dam from the makkah is tahar, then it's not going to be a problem. So as long as you know that dam makkah from the makkah is not going to be a problem, if you know that that's what this is, then you're fine. But how certainty have to be that that's what this is? Does she really know for sure that it's not just her regular period? Does she how sure does she, just anytime she has any maka that's automatically good enough? That can't be. That's what's good enough for a kesa, maybe, to know that she has any sort of maka. That might be good enough for a kesa, but what exactly does she have to know about her maka over here? So if you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes two deos in Rishonim. First he writes, V'kasav harash b'zal b'sof shar dalid, that which it says that if she has a makkah, b'osa makkah, you can be told in the makkah, mistavra da'afilu eina margeshas mamish sha'adam shosis v'yor min ha'makkah. It's mistavra that she doesn't really have to necessarily know that this dam is coming from that makkah. Or, not only that, it sounds like she doesn't even have to know that that makkah is currently being motzi dam. Chada de'eneneha bein makasa. First of all, she can't see. Right? There is no way of knowing that the makkah is being motzi dam. The only way she can know is by doing a bedikah shoferes, which we don't do. When we say that a woman is believed to say that maka yeshli, that the dam is shosis and yoreg from, lavne and menes lomer dimimena shosis yoreg kamar. There are two ways to read that line, right? What does it say again? That ne menes lomer maka yeshli. So there are two ways to read it. Ne menes lomer maka yeshli. She's believed to say, I have a maka. And then we therefore assume shemimena adam shosis v'yorid, that the dam comes from that mako. Or you could read it ne'menes lomer yeshi shemimena adam shosis v'yorid, that she's ne'menes to say, oh, this I have a mako that this blood is coming from. So says the Rashba, it can't mean the second thing. It doesn't mean that she's ne'menes to say that I have a mako that this blood is coming from. Lav ne'menes lomer dimimena shosis v'yorid kamar ella. Klapei shamer miyesh lamaka told makasa kamar she'ina nutzvichun ladas bebirur sheyesh lamaka, that we don't have to say that she has to know for sure that she has a maka she'ina nutzvichun ladas bebirur sheyesh lamaka elihi atzma margeshes b'maka v'nei menes lomer maka yesh li shesham yesh dam. Meaning all she has to say is, I know that I have a makkah. Doctor doesn't have to see it. She can say, I know that I have a makkah. No, we don't have to have any other independent verification of it. And she has to be able to say that I know that this makkah is a bleeding type of makkah. So the Rashba seems to be telling us that even if she doesn't know that the blood is coming from the makkah, because you can't know such a thing. How could you know the blood is coming from a makkah? Unless you do, b'dikas shofaris. And we don't even need to know that there is a makkah, independent of her telling us that. We don't have to verify that there's a makkah. She just has to tell us that she feels a makkah. Now, there are two ways to understand what the Rashba is trying to say over here, just to how far the Rashba goes in terms of her not knowing, in terms of us not knowing, in terms of not having 100% clarity, this blood is from the makkah. Number one is the way they associate the Dark Emotion, the Bach will understand, that she needs to be able to say that it is a type of makkah that can be motzi dam sometimes. But that's it. She doesn't need to know that it's motzi dam right now. She doesn't, meaning she can't say, I have a little bruise, because bruises aren't motzi dam typically. So she needs to know that the makkah that she has is a bleeding type of makkah. But that's it. She doesn't need to know more than that. She doesn't need to know that this makkah is currently bleeding. She doesn't need to know anything like that. Certainly she doesn't need to know that this blood came from this makkah. Just that she has a makkah that is a sug of makkah that's motzi dam. That's all she needs to know according to one understanding of the Rashba, the Beis Yosef, Dr. Moshe Bach's understanding of the Rashba. Comes along the Shach in Siv Katan Chav Dalit, Aval pi she'ena margeshes ata shedam zehu ba mi makasa. That says the Shach. No. What it means is you need a makkah that you know is actually occasionally bleeding. You're just not sure that right now this blood is from this makkah. But it's not that I have a makkah that's the sug of makkah that's motzi dam. I have a makkah that's actually motzi dam. I'm just not sure that this dam is from this makkah. So we essentially have like three levels over here. You have where a woman has like a black and blue mark, where that doesn't do anything for you, because you don't even know that such a makkah is not even a sug of makkah that's motzi dam. That for sure is not good enough. Right? Then you have the Rashba saying, but you know, you have the understanding of the Beis Yosef, the Dr. Moshe, the Bach, and the Rashba that says that as long as it's a sug of makkah that would be motzi dam, even though I don't know that this makkah has actually been motzi dam, that's good enough. Then you have the Shach's understanding of the Rashba. The Shach first says it on not in the name of the Rashba, then at the end he says, and by the way, this is Shitas Rashba also, that she needs to know that the makkah that she has, not only from the sug that's motzi dam, it's actually motzi dam. She just can't necessarily trace this dam to that makkah, right? And then the Shach, after he quotes all the Rishonim that hold this way, he says, "Valchachti sham digam harashva b'toras abayis modulazeh deloka amar el shein sarich sheteida shemargeshes ata." All the Rashba said is that she doesn't need to know that this dam right now is coming from the makkah. But she does need to know that her makkah is motzi dam. He says, but the Beis Yosef, the Dark Emotion, meaning the Shach is taking on some big guns over here, meaning in interpreting Rashba, right? He's saying, I know how to learn the Rashba better than the Beis Yosef and the Dark Emotion, then Mechaber and the Ramah both learn the Rashba. So that is the Machlokas in how to understand the Rashba, but all of this is within one sheet. I mean, the Shach couldn't believe that the Rashba would be so makil to allow women to assume that blood came from a wound if they don't even know that that wound is generating blood. Meaning it's a Savita Raisa, the Savita Shaku, which has to be the Chumra. Right, meaning, I don't even know this wound is being motzi dam, so it's a safek d'oraisa. So how can you just be mekel on something like that? The Chacham Tzvi in Siman Mem Vav as a tshuva, he brings a raya to the Shach from the Mishnah on Milches and Beis. This Mishnah on Milches and Beis tells us the story with Rabbi Akiva, right? That a woman came and she said, "Oh, I found the kesem." And Rabbi Akiva said, "Maybe you have a makkah." And she said, "Oh, Taka, I do have a makkah." And she said, "I Taka do have a makkah, but the chayisa." The makkah is already healed. So he says, well, maybe if you press on it and you squeeze the healed matcha, it will start bleeding again. And she says, oh, taka, yeah, that happens. He says, okay, so then we can be mekel. So all the Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva were there, and they were mistaken zebezet. They started looking at each other. What has gotten into our rabbi? He's like, since when is he such a huge mekel? That's like, that's crazy, crazy kula. And he says, no, lo amru ksamim ala hakel. You should know that that's always our netiyah when it comes to ksamim. It's an unbelievable story, you know? The women would ask such shaylas in front of all the time. Can you imagine? A woman walks into the room, Rabbi, I have a shayla for you. And just like, in front of all the Talmidim, and then they're all mistakel, zebezeh, like what's a, so the whole thing is an unusual circumstance. But how does that arise? That's about kesem. What's got nothing to do with us? What is it? Meaning, again, the whole premise of this whole discussion is that ksamim has nothing to do with this discussion. And when it comes to a kesem, a taliyah kol shehu, you just need something reasonable. It doesn't need to be much more than that. So the Chacham Tzvi suggests that the implication is that he was only willing to be mekel on a kesem, but not on a, meaning it's only because it was a kesem that he was mekel. He never would have been mekel had it been a bedik aseid or a ri'iyah mamish or a damach mustashvish. So the Chacham Tzvi says, you know what? A wound that has healed is the equivalent of a makah she'ena motziya da. And therefore, the shach must be right, that if you have a makah that you don't know that is being motzidan, that we can only be makel by a kesa. Because the case of Rabbi Akiva is similar to the case that the Beis Yosef thinks the Rashba is talking about. And Rabbi Akiva was only willing to be makel because it's a kesa. The Chazon Ish just points out that the case of the Mishnah, the wound had healed, so it's not really the same. When the wound had healed, it's not likely to be producing dam anymore. But an existing wound that is of the sug that is motzi dam might actually be motzi dam. So it's not really a parallel case. Case of the Mishnah was it's already healed. She knew that it's no longer being motzi dam. Whereas in the case of the Rashba, she doesn't know if it's being motzi dam or not. She knows it's a sug of maka that is motzi dam, and maybe that's enough for the Rashba to be mekel. So mechaber passes like a Rashba that any time a woman finds blood on a bedikah cloth, and there is some wound that's a sug of a wound that's motzi dam, she's not nida, even if she doesn't know for sure that wound is bleeding. That's a mechaber passes. Comes along the Sefer HaTrumah, quoted in the Beis Yosef. Sefer HaTrumah says, Beis Yosef writes, "Avala goes my monios kosu perikiral milchisir bia b'shem Sefer HaTrumah, di isha sheyesh la makah ba'osa makah, ve'eni yo da'as imotzi adam." A woman has a makah, but she doesn't know if the makah is actually bleeding. "Im bodekes atzma ba'osa makah, u'motzi adam, o im margeshes, k'sha adam nofel me'arechem, temeya, ve'ena tola b'maka." The Tanya in the Menasi Shalom Maka Yeshiva Somosh Ben Yotzidam Mashma Davka Shadash Yotzidam Min HaMaka Tola Ba, where the Sefer Truman says you have to know that the Maka is Motzidam. That if you don't know that the Maka is necessarily being Motzidam, you're going to be Tamei. And therefore it's a much higher level of verification that's necessary according to the Sefer Truman. It has to be that you don't necessarily have to know that this blood came from this makkah, but you for sure have to know that not just that this makkah is from the sug that's mostly done, nor that it's occasionally bleeding, but that this makkah is an actively bleeding site, right? Not that it's a kind of makkah that sometimes will bleed, sometimes won't. It's an actively bleeding site, that this makkah is being mostly done. So that's what Rama writes. That Elim Kenyo Da'as Bivadai Shemakasa Motzia Dam. That she has to be Yoda'as Bivadai, that the Makkah is being Motzi Dam. And even then, says the Rama, Umikal Makkah at the end of Sifhei, Bishas Vesta, Umishloshim Yom, Shloshim Yom, Eina Tola B'Makasa. If it's Shas Vesta, or it's the Yonah Beinonis, it's 30 days after the last period, even if she has a Makkah that she knows is actively bleeding, but she sticks in a bedikah cloth and comes out with blood, she's tameya. Dimloke lo titame leolam, because otherwise she'll never be tameya, because she'll always just be able to be told in that makkah. Ksamim talad ba b'chalim. Now, obviously, ksamim you can be mekel, but if it's a real riyas dam or a bedikas seid or something like that, then you're not going to be told in that case. So that's how the Ramah passes. Ramah passes like the sefer hatruma. So this is much more relevant than you think it is. This comes up all the time. Women do bedika; they have some sort of significant discomfort in doing the bedika. They feel that there's something there. There's no logical reason why they should be bleeding right now. They just got their period 2 weeks ago. What is going on? Why is there bright red blood coming out on their bedika cloth? Right. So according to the Mechaber, the level of raya that you need to know that she's to be mekil is not that much. You just need to know that there is a maka. That's the kind of maka that's motzidam. But the bodekas that examines her and looks for the maka, or you don't even need a bodekas. According to Rashi, she's nemenet to say, I have a maka, and my feeling is that this is the kind of maka that's motzidam. The shach would say, no. She has to have a maka that she knows is sometimes motzidam. Whereas according to the Ramah, you need an actively bleeding maka. An actively bleeding maka. So exactly what the bodekas is looking for. What happens is, a lot of times, Rabbi will say, a woman will pull up, and she'll say, you know, I did a bedika, you know, whatever, the woman will bring the bedika cloth, the Rabbi will look at it and say, this is dumb, but something looks a little funny about this, right? And did you have pain? Yeah, I'm having tremendous pain when I did the bedika. Okay, so I can't just, you know, we're going to send you to a bodekas. I can't just say that it's a maka, right? So go to a bodekas. So the bodekas will call the rabbi, and the bodekas will say, that conversation is important. The bodekas will say, yeah, there's a maka there. That's not enough, right? According to the Ramah, it's not enough to say, yeah, there's a maka there. Did you observe that the maka is actively bleeding? So bodekas might say, when I pressed against it lightly, there was no dam, but if I pressed really hard, there was dam. So what would that be? So that's the shach, right? But that's not the Ramah, right? That's not the Ramah. The Ramah would have to say that it's an actively bleeding, that the bodekas looks and sees that there's a maka, that's an open wound. For this reason, it's very often important that, truth is, to be honest, there are some rabbanim that are sending women to bodekas all the time. That every time she gets a bad bedika, just run to a bodekas. I'm not of that mind. I think sometimes just wait another day. You know, like it's not a great idea to be running to. But I think it's anxiety inducing. And as much as kedei l'tari yishu l'baila, we do whatever we can to be l'tari yishu l'baila, and that's a goal, and that's something that we take seriously. But sometimes it's not worth the stress of running to the bodekas unless you have a real reason to assume that something's going on. But if you do have a real reason to assume something's going on and you send a woman to a bodekas, you also have to be careful now. I got a call from let me just finish that sentence. If you do have a real reason to assume something's going on and send a woman to a bodekas, it's really often important that she gets there sooner rather than later, because things heal. And once it's already maka haisa v'chaisa, right? So that's only good enough for a keseb. That's not gonna be good enough, right? So you're gonna need you want to catch it before it heals to know that you have an actively bleeding wound, which is rare to have an actively bleeding wound. But be that as it may, if she's gonna go to a bedek such a thing, that's gonna be an important part of the conversation. Maybe put that down as a question for Rabbi Sablowski either. Meaning, how do we paskin in terms of in terms of how much of a maka you need to know? Do you need to see that it's actively currently bleeding? Does she need to know how hard does she have to press against it to make it bleed in order for it to be something that we can be makel on a bedika cloth? Right, put that down as a question. We'll have that one also. And for Rabbi Reisman, I guess we'll do our Q&A.
Why would it be waiting an extra 1 day? Wouldn't it be waiting when you come in and
she might only be, it might have been a Rav Sektara. So it's just right. If it's on day 7 of the game, then you said it's a bit. Then we really try to. Right, it's a good point. Yeah.
Like someone we said, they have to be aware of the tliya at the time they find the kesem. If you discover the maka later, it wouldn't be good. So why is going to check post for the bedika going to help?
So because she already feels the pain. She already feels that there's something there. So we know that there's something there. It's a question of what is the something. I got a call from an OBGYN not that long ago saying, just be careful which bodekas you send women to. Because the OB was saying that that she had experience with particular bodekas. A lot of it's just the whole mahalich of the world today is that people don't feel that they are constricted by what their expertise is, right? You have rabbis that act as therapists, you have OBGYNs that act as rabbis, you have, you know, so, and yet you have people who are, you know, whatever, a nurse practitioner or something that open up emergency medicine things out of their basement. You know, like you have all sorts of people are just like, yeah, I know something about medicine, so I could be a surgeon. So you have, so this doctor was telling me that you have a bodekas that's basically doing surgeries. I mean, not surgeries, but she's performing procedures that really need to be performed by a doctor in at least an office setting, not in the bodekas' living room, you know, like, or whatever. You know, kids, stay in your bedroom, you know, like that's not the way it should be happening. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm not sure how much. So anyway, so you got to be careful about that. So when you send a woman to a bodekas, it's probably a good idea to know the reputation of the bodekas, and also just to sort of maybe just tell the woman exactly what the bodekas should and should not be doing. You know, just a stump warning. Okay. So that's the fundamental machlokas, Rashba Sefer Truma, and that turns out to be machlokas Mechaber Ramah. But even within the Shitas HaRashba, we have these two different understandings of what the Shitas HaRashba in fact is. Okay, now just to zoom out a little bit into this concept of Taliya, do we have the concept of Taliya in other areas of Halacha? That we're a Tola on something else, meaning it's possible that it came from the problematic thing, but maybe it came from the good place, you know, maybe it came from somewhere that's not problematic. So there is a Machlokas Rishonim that comes up in Shulchan Aruch, in Mechaber Ramah and Hilchos Treifos. Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya, in the beginning of Yerodeya, and Simon Nun writes, Kol Elu Hanakavim, Im Yesh Bame Litlos, Kimo Betabach, O Bezeev, Shenotlon Tolimban. So what's it talking about? What kind of Tali are we talking about? You're doing a Bedikas Treifos, you're looking for a hole in the lung or whatever, and you, sure enough, there's a gigantic hole in the lung. Yeah, but after you shucked the animal, you saw a wolf attack the carcass and bite around, and you know, and then you scared the wolf away, right? And now you're looking at the lung, and the lung has a hole in it. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's shayach that the hole in the lung didn't come from the animal being ill during its lifetime, right? It's shayach that hole in the lung came from the wolf that was biting on it. So a wild animal took the carcass. You can assume the trefa came from the wild animal. Comes along the Ramah, kol makom she'in yicholim litvos shenasa la'achar shchita. If you can't be told that something happened after shchita, apel bishu trefas sheish lo bedika, even though there's a trefas that you could check for, im lo bat kuhu o she'in yicholim litvok. Meaning, if there's a way to be bodek and you didn't do the bedika of whether it came la'achar misa or not, then you have to aser it. V'lor minan nishchita hutra el bedavar shenuchalomar shenasa hareus la'achar shchita. V'yatsa mechaskasa mechayim. Says the Ramah, we're only going to say, again, let's say that again, v'lor minan nishchita hutra. We're not going to say, oh, once it was shechted, it was hutra, and therefore whatever problem I found afterwards only came afterwards. Unless you can point to a point in time where the reyesa happened after the shechita. A wolf was attacking it after the shechita. Because while it was alive, it still had the chazaka that it was intact. So we forbid a suffix trefa unless we know for sure that the reyesa happened after the shechita. So says the Ramah. Now, the Shach over there at Sivkot and Gimel says that this Ramah is really telling me two chidushim. I'll say what they are first, and then we'll elaborate on each of them. First chidush is that mechaskin and meyisur leisur, which we'll get to in a second. And the second chiddush of the Rama is that when there's no reyos vaday reyos amichayim, we assume that behema becheskas kashrus, even on a 50-50 safek. We'll have to see what that means. So let's go through. What are the chidushim of this Rama? So the Darkei Moshe in Siman Lamed Aleph writes as follows. He says, Maisa bali yodenu po kila kadosha krakow barosh behema shayi bom mayim v'kodim she'or mum probably v'kodim she'yodu areyasa, that there was an animal that came and there was something on the head of the animal, and before they knew the what the reyosa was, chatchua gulgolas l'shnayim, they cut the skull into two, umiktsas hamoach min gulgolas, and they cut through the brain a little bit, v'loayenoda imamoach hakifa olav asrenuha, and they weren't sure if there was a hole in the brain, in the membrane around the brain, because they just cut right through it, so they don't know, and they asked for it. V'yesha yirotzim lahachshir, and there were those that wanted to be machshir mehadetanya nishcheta hutra atsheyadeyalach b'menitrafa, that when an animal has a shchita, so it's hutar with the shchita until you know what the trefa came from. So if you don't know where the trefa came, so once it was shechted, it was a hutra v'lo dami, says the Rambam, but that is a misplaced raya, that is incorrect. The whole v'yesh kad reyus abarur mechayim. Meaning over here there was a case where while it was alive you saw something was off. So there was a reyus amichayim. If you already saw something was off while it was alive, and now you don't know for sure whether the problem in the brain was there before the shechita or after the shechita, not good enough. The reyus amichayim, you're going to need to know that something happened after the shechita. It's not good enough to assume that it happened after the shechita. Now the Shach explains that he's referring to the Tosos that discusses a machlokas between Rabba on the one hand and Abaye and Rav on the other hand. What Tosos is he talking about? He says V'chei Mashu V'Tos Parag Dal Lachin. Where's that? Yehomis. So wait, we started in Nid over here. Then we moved to Hilchos Treifus to talk about Tliya, right? Because we also find Tliya in Hilchos Treifus. And the Ramah, in talking about a treifa, says, "Oh, v'chein mashu perik dalel achin tosos in yevamos." What's tosos in yevamos talking about? What does it have to do? So, the yisod that the Ramah is working with is that there's such a thing as a chazaka, that everything is status quo. You have a chazaka of a status quo, cheskas heter, cheskas iser, and then something changes. So that could be in any area of halacha. So it comes up in yevamos also. So what exactly is happening in yevamos? The case in yevamos is the following. There is a machlokas between Rabba on the one hand and Abaye and Rav on the other hand about a guy who is married to two women. Right? Totally legal. Until Rabbeinu Gershom was born, no one ever heard of any problem with that, right? So a guy was married to two women. I just heard a recording on something of Rav Avigdor Miller. They asked him, "How do you know that you found the one?" He said, "There is no one. You could be married to 100 women, and as long as you could afford it, it's, before Rabbeinu Gershom was born, it would have been fine." Okay, so don't share that on a date. But, so, a guy was married to two women. Now, one of whom was an erva to his brother, right? So what's it? You ever learn Yevamos? If you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon is married to two women, and then Shimon's married to Sarah and Rivka, right? And then Shimon dies, but Rivka is an erva to Reuven. Rivka is Reuven's daughter, let's say, right? So then Reuven doesn't do Yibum on either of the women, not even on Sarah. Why doesn't he do Yibum on Sarah? Because she's what's called a Tsaras erva. Sarah is a Tsara over here. She's a Tsaras erva. So what happens if you have the following case? Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is married to two women. Before he dropped dead, right, because it's not a Yibum case unless Shimon drops dead, right, but before, and he didn't have any children, before Shimon drops dead, what happens? Shimon is Zara get Safek Karvlo to Sarah. So he tried to divorce his niece. He was married to his niece, and he tried to divorce her, but he's not sure if it worked out, right? He's not sure if it was a kar of law, so they don't know if the get worked. And then Shimon drops dead. Shimon's so frustrated. The rabbi's like, wait, we got to do that again. I'm not sure if it was karav lo, karav la. And he gets so frustrated, he just drops dead. He has a heart attack and drops dead on the spot. So now we need to know, does Reuven need to do Yibum with Rivka, right? Meaning Sarah's his daughter, he's not going to do Yibum with Sarah, but does he need to do Yibum with Rivka? If Shimon was no longer married to Sarah, so then Reuven needs to do Yibum with Rivka. If Shimon was still married to Sarah, right? If Shimon was still married to Sarah, then Reuven doesn't need to do Yibum, because there's his daughter and there's the Sarah Sarva. There's the other woman that's also that was a co-wife with his daughter. So what's the issue? Do we assume that the Tzara is becheskas hetel l'shuk, that Rivka is becheskas that she's mutaris l'shuk, or do we say she needs chalitza? So Rabbi says she's becheskas hetel l'shuk because she used to be a Tzara Zerva. So she's becheskas that she doesn't need Yibum. The last thing we knew about her for sure, the last time we were certain about her status, what was her status? Tzara. So good, so she doesn't need Yibum. You go back to that chazaka. Rabbi and Rav say she requires chalitza. So the Ramah, in this passage, in Darkei Moshe, based on Tosfos, understands what are they arguing about. They're arguing about whether mechaskinun may iser le'iser. What does that mean? Because Rabbah holds that even though at the time of the Leidas HaSafik, what's the time of the Leidas HaSafik in that case? The giving of the get, right? She was definitely asur l'shuk. Why was she definitely asur l'shuk at the time of the Leidas HaSafik? Because she was still in Eish Zish. Shimon was still alive, right? Meaning at the time of the Leidas HaSafik, Rivka was not allowed to marry other guys, because Rivka was not allowed to marry anybody. She was still married to Shimon. Shimon hadn't died yet. So at the time of the Leidas HaSafik, she was Vadei Asur L'Shuk, because she was still in Eish Zish. We don't consider that to be a Cheskas Issa. We don't consider that to be a Cheskas Issa. Why? Because it's a different Issa. Meaning, what if she's Asura now, that Shimon's dead, if she's Asura to marry anybody else, why is it? What is her, is it? Yivam l'shuk. It's definitely not what? Eish HaSish. The Isser changed. Don't tell me that she was Becheskas Isser, and now, therefore, that Becheskas Isser remains. The Becheskas Isser that she had, we know, is gone. She was Becheskas Eish HaSish. She's definitely not an Eish HaSish. And the same would be true by Trefa, according to Rabbah. That even if a Reisa existed Mechayim, when it was Becheskas Isser, what? What's the Becheskas Isser when it's Mechayim? Eiv Menachai. It's a living animal. Isser Eino Zavuach, if there is such a thing. That it's Basa, it's not Shechted. The reason of Shechted has problems with all, what do you call it? Stem cell meat. Zeino Zavuach. That was the Isser. But now you know that's not the Isser because it was Shechted. So you can consider it to be Becheskas Heter as far as the Isser Treif is concerned. But Abaye and Rava hold Machzikim Isser the Isser, that we can link from one Isser to the next. So when she had an Isser Ishas Ish, she was Becheskas Isser, and that Chazaka carries over to the Isser Yivam L'Shuk. And similarly, Cheskas Yisr Evi Menachai carries over to the Yisr Treifa. So the Rama paskins like Abaye and Rava. And that's why he's not matir the Safik Treifa if the Reisa was Nolad Michayim while the animal already had Cheskas Yisr. Meaning if the Reisa already existed while the animal had Cheskas Yisr, it never had a Cheskas Yisr. Because by the time you shechted it, the Cheskas Yisr, the Reisa was already there. So Mechaskin and Meisr Yisr, we take that Cheskas Yisr that was the last known chazaka this animal had, and we say, oh, Mistam, it's still Asr. But it's definitely not an Isr of Eina Zavuach, it's Shechted. Yeah, but the last known status that it had, for sure, was that it was Eivim Menachai, was that it was Eina Zavuach. And that's enough. You can be Mechaskin and Meisr Yisr. So the Ramah, that's what... It's a beautiful Ramah, right? Because the Darkei Moshe says v'chei mashma b'tosus parak dalet achim. In those words, that's what the Ramah is telling you, right? The Ramah is telling you this whole lumdus of the whole sugi, this whole shtikl Torah of what the lumdus is behind the machlokas between Rabba on the one hand and Abaye Rav on the other hand about mechaskin and miyisul the iser. There you have it. Now, would that apply to Nida? Would we look at her chazaka from beforehand and say that she's asura or not asura based on not knowing about the makkah? So it could be that this entire discussion of chaskim misulisir is really only about these unique cases of Yavama Lashuk and Trefa, and are not going to carry over to Nida. This is all from Rav Salvechik Shiurim on Nida that Rabbi Reichman published. I don't know if he published it yet. He almost published. I don't know. But do you have him ready to publish? I don't know if he ever. No, does he have a book? Does he have a. We sent it on an email, but was it ever actually published? It's never actually published. So it could be that the entire discussion only of Mechaskin Meisalisr is only by Yavam Lashuk and Trefa, where the Ramaz going to paskin that we're Mechaskin Meisalisr, that we carry forward the Cheskasisr from one thing to another area of Halach. Why? Because the Yisra Yavam Lashuk and the Yisra Veshas Ish might be the same Yisra. Yavam Lashuk may be just a more moderate form of Veshas Ish. Yavam Lashuk is a lav, it's not a Chiv Misa, but it might just be like a toned down form of Veshas Ish. There's a sheet in Yavamas that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin be Yavam Lashuk. Why would it be Ein Kiddushin Tovsin be Yavam Lashuk? It's only an Yisra lav. Because it's really an Yisra Veshas Ish. Or there's a sheet that a Yavam is made for Nidra Yavamta. A Yavam is made for the Nidra Yavamta? They're not even married. How could a Yavam be made for, meaning before they do the Yibum that he's made for, when she's Zakuk Yibum, that he could be made for Ndarma. How could you have such a thing? He could be made for Ndarma. She's not his wife. Elamai? She is, a little bit, his wife. So it could be that Yavam Lashuk is viewed as like a watered-down version of the Yisra'ishish. And similarly, by Trefa, it could be that the problem is that it was not eligible for Heter Shechita, meaning that the problem of Trefa is similar to the Isra of Eivor Menachai and Eina Zavuah. That was most famously Reb Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Drasha. No? Have you heard Reb Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Pshat? He wrote it himself. He didn't have some rabbi write it for him. He didn't make jokes about his siblings. Nothing. All it was even though we fight, no, none of that. He spoke about the Cheskas Yisr of Eina Zavuach, and Treifa is really just the din in Eina Zavuach. That the Yisr of Treifa is that it's not eligible for Heter Shlita. I mean, there are two ways to view the Yisr of Treifa. The Yisr of Treifa could be viewed as its own separate Yisr. And Reb Chaim suggested that no, it's not its own separate Yisr. It means that it's an animal that's not ro'i for Shechita. So you just can't ever have a Heter Shechita. It's based on a Rambam, of course. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Malchol Surah Salach Yud Zayin, Kol ha-nevelos mitzarfu zu unzu, u-nevel mitzarfu sim trefa, v'chein kol behim v'chai ha-tmei mitzarfu mze et mze. Avu basar nevela im basar behim ha-tmeia in mitzarfu. The Rambam says when you have different Isurim, they can't be mitzarif with each other to be chayv malchus for eating the shear of the Isur. But a nevela with the trefa are mitzarif with each other. What does a nevela have to do with the trefa? Trefa is an animal that you shechted. It had a shechita. It just has a hole in its lung. A nevela is an animal that you shot in the head. Never had a shechita. So how are they mitzarif? So the Rambam explains it. He says, "Zaklal kol she isuron belav echod mitstarfin, b'shnei lavin ein mitstarfin, chutz mi nevelo treifa, where they're mitstarif, hoil v'hatreifa tchilas nevelahi. Treifa's tchilas nevela? What does treifa have to do with nevela? Elamai, what the Rambam is telling you is that treifa's tchilas nevela, meaning that the whole problem of Treifa is that it's not eligible for Shechita. The problem of Nevela is that they didn't have Shechita. It's the same Isser. So in that case, you could say, Mechaskin Mi'isul Isser, because it's the same Isser. The Shach points out that the Chuvus Maram Lublin in Siman Samech Vav disagrees with the Ramah and holds that even if the Reyesa was Mechayim, you could be told of the Hakel. And he holds that it's not the Machlokas between Rabbi and Abai and Rava. They all hold the Eid Mechaskin Meisul Isr, even by Yavam Lashuk and even by Trefa. So we assume there's a Cheskas Heter, and we're not going to forbid it Misafik. The fact that Abai and Rava require a Chalitza by the Safik Ed case, that was a Chumra Midrabam. So everyone would really agree that we're not Mechaskin Meisul Isr. So first Chiddush of the Ramah what's the same Chaskin Lisr against Maram Lublin? So again, we're trying to point out what exactly are the two chidushim of this Rama in Hilchos Shreifas in Siman Nun. So number one is Mechaskin Lisr Lisr. So we're already out of time. The second chidush, Bezrah, we'll discuss tomorrow. Then we'll bring that back to Taliyah B'Makkah, how that relates back to Taliyah B'Makkah. We'll go through the potential differences between Treifus and Nida. If you still have access to that piece from Rav Soloveitchik, you know, maybe go over it, because it's a cholesterol piece. Okay. Have a great day, everyone. But